Last week, someone laid a very probing question before me, and when I have to stop and really ponder something, I mean, you know, if you'd asked me something about construction, that'd be no problem. I'd get that to you. You ask me about theology, that's no big deal. But when you ask me about things like the Spirit, there are times in life that I have to stop and really ponder that, because just because you're a preacher doesn't make you invincible. And when I was looking at, or when I was thinking about that this week, I thought about the power that the Holy Spirit has always had that I've been blessed with for, I can't tell you how old I was then, but that was a long time ago. 50 plus years ago, I'll put it that way. But I had to ask myself a question, and I'm going to ask that question to you today because it was important to me, and I hope this would be very important to you. Do you neglect the Holy Spirit? I'd have to answer that with a yes. There are moments in my life that I've neglected the Holy Spirit. I've done things that I've lived out life, and sometimes it was answered in the flesh and not in spirit. And how do I know that? Well, because I live with y'all too. How do I know when if it's lived in the flesh and not in the spirit? Because every time it turns out to be sin. Every time. You answer in the flesh, you think you got it right, you didn't consult God, you didn't ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, and what do you get? You get sin. Maybe it's not blatant, but it's blatant in this regard because you did not seek His face. And that's blatant. We know better. I know better. But sometimes I just have to admit it. And I will admit it. I always admit it. That sometimes I've missed it. And it's sad. It's ridiculous, but it is what it is, okay? So this morning, I want to read a passage of Scripture out of Galatians chapter 5. Well, I hope somebody else gets excited about this besides Tracy and me. It's what it is. But because it speaks to Christians. Beginning at verse number 13, Galatians chapter 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Those are great, great statements. Extremely important. Paul had it down right there. In verse 15, though, he makes an observation. And the observation is this. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You know, you might want to think that he's speaking to the world. He wasn't speaking to the world. He was speaking to Christians. He was speaking to the church at Galatia that had an issue going on. Their expressions, all the things about it. And he lays them all out here. It's very clear. In verse number 19, if you want to flip over there, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he lays out all of these things. There's 12, I think, something like that. But the emphasis being that we're talking about being a Christian, yet we're still involved in the expressions that show that we are not plugging in to the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not seeking Him out. We're falling prey to things that we shouldn't. Envy, jealousy, all the things that go along with that. Bitterness and strife. That these things are laid out before us and we're doing those kind of things. We're trying to serve God so many times, but we're trying to serve Him in the flesh. And what does that get me? Nothing. The best effort that we have, the most knowledge that you have, the things that you do well, and you can cover it up and into nominal people, that'd be a great thing. They wouldn't buy into that. They wouldn't know what to say about it. But when it comes down to what the Spirit of God should have led you to, then you got a problem. You got a problem because I have a problem. And I know those marks. I know those things that come out in our lives. And I know when the Holy Spirit is speaking. I know when He's talking about the very things, because I know what transformation is. I know what salvation was. I know what what spirit that God put upon me. You know, back in the book of Acts in the 19th chapter, it says, Paul asked the question, well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And what did they say? We've not even heard about such thing. And I think today it's the very same truth today, that many people in the church have never even heard about the Holy Ghost. They don't know what it is to be filled with the power of the Spirit. And the Galatians, all of them were right there in that very thing. Where did they have to go? They have to go where you and I have to go. You have to go back to the very beginning and start again. We got to get it back to where God said, I can do something in your life that will enthuse your spiritual life, and you can walk in my presence all the time. But I got to take you back to teach the lesson again until you get it down. You know, and there's no other way for individuals today other than that. We want to jump ahead. We want to say, well, look, I got all these years experience being a Christian, and I've done this. Well, the problem is all those years are probably making bad mistakes all over again. Golfers. Golfers have a terrible habit, swinging the same way every time. And it's wrong. I'm trying to get it to something you might understand. You get a bad habit, it's a terrible habit to break. Terrible. It takes a lot of time. Same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. You started the bad habit. You didn't listen to Him. And it was just little things. Then it got bigger and bigger. And then pretty soon you thought you were spiritual. You thought you were religious. So you kept the swing, and it went outside in, and the ball went that way. And now in your spiritual life, you go outside in instead of inside out. Because He that's inside of you longs to make a difference. But when you're more concerned about the exterior forces, not the interior force, you got a problem. I have a problem. The problem is not recognize what the Holy Spirit can do and do into my life greatly. And I just need to do this today. I just need to confess that. Because one thing, if we confess it, God says, hey, there's hope. I can change your life. I can bring you back. And God alone can be the one that does the changing. All right? Nobody else can. You can go to every church you want to, follow after anybody you want to. It doesn't make any difference. Only God can make that change. Only the Holy Spirit will speak for us, because that's His job. That's what He does. And only the Holy Spirit can empower our lives to live godly in this present world. But we need the might of that Spirit right there. We need what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3 to those at Ephesus. This is what he said, with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I'm telling you, God will have mercy on the church. He says He'll do it all the time. But when will it come? It will come when we get honest with ourselves to say, I live more by my flesh than I do by my spirit. You see, God's not interested in that. God's interested in our whole heart. He's interested in everything we have. And I know that I've grieved Him on different occasions. I know when I don't listen to Him. And I know I can't be the only one. I can't. As hard as we try to serve God, as hard as we try to do everything right, maybe that's the issue. We are trying to do it. And we're not being filled with His presence. We are trying to keep going and do the right thing every single time, all these things. But it comes right back to that. Have we been neglecting the Holy Spirit? Or do we even know about the Holy Spirit? Do we know who is there to empower your life? Have you sought Him? And I don't mean in a prayer that you go, you know, Lord, I'm in trouble, come help me. I'm saying that before I ever got in trouble, what was I doing? We must cry out to the Holy Spirit because He is omnipotent. And He's there to provide for us. So I want to pick up today. I want to talk about the state of our hearts. You ever thought about your heart? About what it is? Years ago, probably 3, maybe 4 years ago now, Margaret and Lily and I took off. We went to New Mexico, visit with friends out there. And one of the neat things that you go out there, you always see all the oil pumps and you see the big windmills. And oh, that was so fascinating. You know, Lily just went crazy about the big. And of course, she wanted me to pull off the road and drive to it. Well, you could see it, but it's probably 15 miles the wrong direction before you got to it. No, I wasn't pulling off and doing that. New Mexico is a long enough drive as it is. And it was over the, what's that? What's that? What's that? You know, fortunately now she doesn't ask all those what's that stuff because she might not want to hear my reply to what's that. But oil refineries were a neat thing in West Texas. We went by plenty of them. We saw the pipes. We saw the tanks. We saw a refinery. We saw all the, well, what is that? I said, it's a giant tinker toy set. That went nowhere because she didn't grow up in the age that I grew up with tinker toys. So I said, it's a maze of machinery. What do they do? Well, they take oil that comes out of the ground and they refine it and then they sell it and to make gasoline or diesel or whatever they sell it for a lot of different things. But until they went through that refinery, what good was it? It was, as they say, crude. It was not usable for what we have. You realize the heart is somewhat like that? The heart has to be the refinery. The heart has to be the one that takes in all of these things, and either the bad and the good, and it utilizes it. Out of the mouth, where did that? Oh, it didn't come out of the mouth, it came out of the heart. Good statements, bad statements, they come out of the issues of our hearts. That's where those things are taken. I like what Jesus had to say in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. What did he tell us about? Blessed are the pure in heart. But how did they get pure? It got pure in Christ. It's the concept of the heart that makes all the difference. Because as the Jews saw it, it was the seat of emotions. It's where you got heartaches. It's where you have a heart throb. It's where you have all of these things right here. It's where you experience broken hearts. But it all focuses not in your head, it focuses in your heart. So that's why he says, blessed are the pure in heart. Because that's the totality of this person. That's who we really are. You say, well, I'm an intellectual. Well, not unless your heart's in it. You may have some airspace between your ears, but that doesn't make you so great. We know what the seat of command is. It's the heart. It overruns the brain all the time. Ask any man. They know all about that, especially if they were young. And now you want to know why I always say men are stupid. Okay. The heart's the origin of desires. It's our affections. It's our thoughts. It's everything that we have. It's our reasoning. It's our imaginations. It's all of these kind of things. And to the Hebrew, to the Jew, the Hebrew mind was really the heart. I used to work in Dallas, downtown. I'd drive from Waco, and we'd go up, and I did a couple jobs in Highland Park area. And one of the things that was very dreaded, you never want to be coming into the Mixmaster, in other words, downtown, and hit all of the maze of roads in rush hour. Because you're not going to get to another lane if you got the wrong lane. Unless you're not afraid to get your car hit. Because that's probably what's going to happen. Because they blend it all, you know. So you need to know. That's why I left at 4 o'clock in the morning and didn't have to worry about that. The closer I got downtown, the faster I drove. I was always driving pretty fast anyway, but I really was driving then, for sure. The heart is like this. Not about my fast driving, and it has nothing to do with fast driving. But it's the intersection where all of our emotions, all of our prejudices, everything that makes us who we are, where wisdom, it all converges right there. And when that heart is on its own, when it's not surrounded by the presence of God, we got a problem. We got crude oil, but we don't have the oil. We've got something flowing that is not good. Low-grade gasoline, you know what it does. Makes you go into that little station, you just had to have gas, and you stopped off at the in a sorry place, and you bought gas and had water in it, and, you know, makes the engine. You don't ever had that happen? Oh, okay. You guys are already going green on me, huh? Man, I'm not going to get there. I'm not even thinking about it. You always want to question, well, where did it come from then? What refinery did it come from? Do you realize that evil is vying for that heart every day too? Along with the good right there? Where do the impure thoughts come? It comes from evil. It comes flowing out of the heart. What is the condition of our hearts? That's what we should be asking ourselves. What is the condition of that heart? I'm going to flip back here to Matthew's gospel, to the 15th chapter. Matthew chapter 15. Let me get there real quick. At verse number 18, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemings." These are the things that defile. These are the things that mess you up. Jesus had some other things to say about that on in Luke's gospel. In the 6th chapter of Luke, he makes the same kind of statement, verse 45. "A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." Wouldn't it be nice if he'd stopped right there? But he didn't. "An evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." That's what he does. Why call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say to do? Why do we say we listen to what the Spirit of God is saying when we don't? Oh, I'm listening. Well, are you paying attention? You know, I've heard a lot of things in my life. I didn't pay attention to it. It just blew right on past me, and I didn't know anything about it. You got bad fruit? What's the real reason? You got a bad root. You got to go to the heart. You got to go back and seek out what God has. What are your actions? Well, your actions never, ever change unless God changes them. You know, you can put on the good smiley face, you can do all those things, but the reality of this, we do not have enough of the presence of the Spirit of God in us every single day to make that difference unless we're seeking Him all the time. It's not a one time. You know me. I came from a Wesleyan tradition, and one of the negative aspects of the Wesleyan tradition, in my estimation, many, many years preaching that, if you concentrate only on a crisis experience of a second work of grace, which I truly believe in, if that's where you stop, you've missed out on all that goes on beyond that. It's like salvation. If you think you got it all at salvation, I'm sorry. It's possible, but many people never get that. They got forgiveness, they got a ticket to heaven, they got eternity set. Now, what did you do after that? Did you grow? Did you change? If you didn't, then what did salvation do for you? It gave you an escape from hell. That's it. And what did God want from you? God wants you to grow and change in His image every day. Then you come to the realization that I don't have everything that I need. I needed something more. What did the disciples need? Jesus said, "I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm going to bring to you, I'm going to send to you my Holy Spirit." What is He saying to believers today? You got saved. You didn't even realize how tough this was going to be, how hard you were going to have to work just to keep right. He said, "I sent you the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know there was one." Will it come at salvation? Yes, it certainly does. Will the knowledge of what it can do for your life come at salvation? Not often. That's something that you find out as you go along. There's something missing in my life. But if you base everything on that second crisis experience and you don't build on that to go, where is God taking me? You've missed out on the very blessings that God has for you. He has great blessings. He said, I want to change your life. I want to fill you with that one that you're questioning. What is his presence? What is he doing in my life now? So that's why I asked the question, what is the state of your heart? Is the Holy Spirit living everything out? You ever get mad? Okay, I'll preach on lying then, okay? If someone yells, do you yell back? Or are you peaceful, calm? That was the issue in the Galatian church. He said, man, you guys got to stop this thing. You're about to devour each other. One growls and the other one bites. This is what you do. These are the things that are impacting you. That all comes down to the state of the heart. That's exactly what it is. Some of you that work, I mean, of course, everybody's worked all their lives, I'm sure. But you think about, well, my schedule's just way too full. I got way too much work. Do you keep cool about that? That speaks to the state of your heart. That's what it speaks to. If you can handle that and the Spirit is where he belongs, that speaks to your heart. How about if you've been offered some juicy gossip? Marinated in slander. Is that something attractive? Do you pick that up and pass it on, or do you turn it down? That's the state of your heart. That's exactly what it is. Here's one that I have to think about every day that I go by Richland Mall. That panhandler. I want to yell out the window every time, get a job! And you know why? Because sometimes I think, but he's a burden on society. Maybe it's an opportunity for God. What's the state of my heart? The state of the heart dictates to everyone's every day whether we harbor a grudge or we harbor grace. That's the state of your heart. That's what the Spirit is here to do. If you're always seeking self-pity, I'm not going to speak about that. Or are you seeking Jesus Christ? Which one are we looking for? You see, all of this speaks to us, who we are. And that speaks to us how much we know and how much we let the Spirit of God move in our lives. You know that God's full of mercy. You know that he extends grace. You know that he does all of these things for us. But do we seek that every day? Or do we answer it in the flesh? Which one are we doing? What did David say? I love the 51st Psalm. Create in me a pure heart, O Lord. You got to have that right there. Or Jesus, when he said, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? Well, because they're going to see God. That's what he said. Now, if you're not pure in heart, will you see God? That's God's business. That's what God has to say about it. You have to have a pure heart first to see God. That's the emphasis. The emphasis on a pure heart. I know that Jesus is pure. I know that there's no defilement there, and he will stand before me, and his blood is perfect. And God is looking upon the blood of Jesus Christ. But do you not think for a moment that God has something for us to do? We already know that God provided salvation for us, that it was something that he gave through his grace by faith. And if you don't know it, it wasn't your faith. It was his faith. God initiated that faith in dead people, that we might understand what God was looking for. So he provided the faith to believe in the works that he was going to do. But then since we've received Christ, have we sought out what he had for me from the time that I got that to the time of my life? It's never changed. It's something that he's always desired. Paul said, I press towards the mark. I said, but I'm going to keep pressing and pressing and pressing, because the mark is not something that you draw a line in on October the 27th. It's all there. No, it's for the rest of my life. I keep pressing. I keep pressing for the Holy Spirit to do in my life. What am I looking for? I'm looking for this. Purify my heart. That's the first thing that I'm looking for. Because I definitely want to see God. Clean up the refinery, okay? Because once the refinery's cleaned up and you're in His presence, then the product is good. It's good gas. It's high octane. Ain't no ethanol in this baby, huh? It's going to be exactly what you're looking for. The problem is we reverse the orders. We try to turn it around the other way. We try to change on the inside by what? By working on the outside attitude. The issue's here. It's not out here. This is peripheral. The issue came out of your heart. It came out of my heart. I may not have been the greatest mechanic in the world. I do know a little bit about it. I couldn't work on an engine, train engine. No, I couldn't do that. But I know this. When your car doesn't start, it won't do you any good to go out and wash it. Now, if you wax it, now that may change something. It won't do any good for you to spray down the engine, get the dirt off of it. No, not going to do anything. Where's the issue? Well, the issue's under your hood. That's where it is. No, Sammy, I don't need a testimonial this morning. He could tell you real quick what I'm talking about right there. It's under the hood. And until you address that part, you can have a gorgeous car or a gorgeous truck. Or if it's a GMC, you can have all those things. It may be pretty and red. Oh, yeah, red, yeah. All shined up. Tires are all armor-alled. Everything's looking good. The problem is it still won't start. So what good is it? Clean up all your outside that you want to, people. If it's not clean in here, you have nothing. It'd be a good yard car. Kind of like a couple Corvettes I have. They make good yard cars. But do they run? Do they go someplace? Well, they're sitting in good company with a 57 Chevy right now, so they're in pretty good shape, okay. The problem's in here, people. The problem is because the Holy Spirit wants more control. The problem is He wants you to recognize Him and quit answering by the flesh. You see, God has spoken a lot this week to me. He said, quit concentrating on you being the answer for everything. Let me be the answer. That's why I went looking for plumbers this morning. I'm looking for the answer. If God has moved upon you back here in the back, I see you. Yep. Maybe you'll become a plumber and go out there and fix that leak outside. None of you ladies have ever done this, I'm sure. You ever just felt depressed? And all liars shall have their part in the lakes which burns with fire and brimstone. And like, oh, no. And what made you do better? Oh, I went out and bought a new dress. Well, you went out and bought something new. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. It made you feel good, didn't it? Got what you wanted? They don't ever get bought out for a dress anymore. It's always a diamond necklace or something like that. But Margaret loves new dresses. The only depression she ever has is me. What do men do? We go to the golf course. We run away. We go hide out on the golf course. No, some men have affairs. That's what they do. And then they can't go back to the same group that they've been in because everybody knows each other. You know, that's the problem about hanging out with a preacher. And because I know. And you know me. I'm transparent. I'm just going to be who I am. But it's not about having an illicit affair. But it is when I have to say, well, I'll do this. Ladies, you can go out and buy a dress. Guys, you have to change your group. And you can change your group. You can start running with somebody else. But then you find out usually that group is somebody that does the same thing that you like to do. And therefore, what comes right back on you? The very burden of the fact that what you're doing is absolutely wrong. So it wasn't about the group, and it wasn't about a new dress. It was about the fact there's something here that needs to be spoken to. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do. Exterior polish, while the interior is corroding. Shine it all up, maybe somebody will buy it. No cosmetic changes. Well, like they say, it's only skin deep. But what was the message that Jesus was trying to drive to us when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart"? He was trying to answer the question that I started with. Did you neglect the Holy Spirit? He was pushing us to this one thing. Admit it. Admit your poverty. Isn't that how he started it out? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because if you're poor in spirit, you can be enriched in his spirit. But when your spirit is bigger than his, what do you got? You need change. What he went on to make that next statement. Blessed are those who mourn. If you pinch that baby one more time, Mary Grace, it's okay, Ella. You'll be all right. Yeah. I'm glad you got with Mama. I mean, you know. He says, blessed are they that mourn. You know where joy comes from? Anybody? The joy of the Lord is my strength. It comes from his very presence. But the joy will come when you recognize the sorrow that you probably got was because of sin. He took us right to there, and he ran right down to sorrow is followed by meekness. If you look at the Beatitudes, you see there's a reason why they put them in the order that he did. They build upon each other all the way down. He said it's followed by blessed are the meek. What is it? What's good about being meek? If you're meek, you can be used by God. But if you're not meek, you got a big head, you can't be used by God. You cannot be done that way. If you're meek, you will hunger after righteousness. And by the Spirit, you will be filled. I know, I'm a terrible preacher. Get that child out of here. She's such a sweetheart. Well, both of them are. They're both sweethearts. I'm glad she got her mom and not you, Daniel. That's for sure. All of these things come back to our hearts. If you admit your sin, you can get saved, right? Yes. Isn't that true? If you confess your weakness, you can receive strength. But we can all have this. If you say you're sorry, you can receive forgiveness. Everything can happen that way. If you extend mercy, you will receive more mercy. You say, what does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? Everything. Because nobody's prompted to ask forgiveness unless the Spirit of God puts it on them. Unless the Spirit of God shows us that we need him, then we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. That's why the question is so important. Do you neglect the Holy Spirit? God has only been the one that could provide permanent joy for me. No matter what came along in life, no matter whether your house burns down or something happened here, or death came unexpectedly, the only permanent joy would come from God. Because the heart's not perfect, but he's perfect. And his love for me is perfect. I just can't afford to wait till it starts rotting. I need to find him right away. If God made you pure, you will be pure. But only God can do that. So once again, it's a simple question. Have you ignored him? Or do you live for him? Do you let the Holy Spirit guide your life? Or are you guiding your life? I've got big needs. I got big things that lay upon me all the time. But I'm the very first one, and unfortunately you've had to hear it. That's not my problem, it's yours, Lord. You put me here, you take care of it. But I learned to give it up. Have I been perfect at it? No, have not. But I believe truly in the fruits of the Spirit. I love the joy, the love, the peace, all of those things come by letting the Spirit of God direct your path. So you have to answer that question on your own today. And I hope that you do. I hope you can answer it to the positive. But if you can't, know this, that the Holy Spirit is right there, that you can say to him, I'm sorry. And Jesus right there says, I forgive. And the Holy Spirit is right there to say, I'll empower you. I will change your life. I will make it better. I can do all of these things in you. You can't. I can. That's really the message of the state of the heart. It speaks to who I am, and I can say every day, blessed are the pure in heart. Because I truly believe that I can see God every day because he's right here to be seen. I hope that you see him today. I hope that you ask him to do something in your life, maybe that you've kind of neglected for a while. Seek out the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do the kind of work in your life that he longs to do. Make you different. Filled with his presence. Peace. Even in the midst of turmoil. And there's a lot of turmoil, I understand. But not when it comes right down to it. He always says, I've got it. But you've got to seek him. And you've got to seek him every moment of every day. Let's pray.